From Philadelphia, it's Torah Talk. Hello everyone, I'm Michael Karasik, and this week we are reading Parshat Re'eh, Deuteronomy 11:26 through 16:17. And I'm going to start reading to you in Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 2. You will have heard this stuff before. You must destroy all the sites at which the nations you are to dispossess worshipped their gods, whether on lofty mountains and on hills or under any luxuriant tree. Tear down their altars, smash their pillars, put their sacred posts to the fire, and cut down the images of their gods, obliterating their name from that site. Do not worship the Lord your God in like manner, but look only to the site that the Lord your God will choose, Hamakom Asher Yivchar, the site that he will choose, amidst all your tribes in his as his habitation, to establish his name there. And once again in verse 11, the site where the Lord your God will choose, Hamakom Asher Yivchar. And once again in verse 14, the place that the Lord will choose, Bamakom Asher Yivchar. We've talked about this subject before on the podcast. Why? Because Hamakom Asher Yivchar, the place that he will choose, Hamakom Asher Yivchar, occurs 23 times, and 21 of the 23 occur in the book of Deuteronomy. And the one that I read you in verse 4 of Deuteronomy 12, that's the very first time this phrase occurs. And just to remind you a little bit more about it, here is Bernie Levinson in the Jewish Study Bible. This frequent formula consistently refers to Jerusalem, where Solomon built the temple. Since Jerusalem played no role in Israel's history until David conquered it, made it his capital, and brought the Ark of the Covenant there, see 2 Samuel 5 and 6, the city cannot be named explicitly without undermining the literary form of Deuteronomy as a Mosaic address. And Chizkuni in the Middle Ages says the name of the site is not given here. The Shechina will rest in several different places, Gilgal, Shiloh, Nob, and Gibeon, before settling on its permanent home in Jerusalem. So those are the modern scholarly and the traditional perspectives of why the name Jerusalem is not mentioned here in Deuteronomy 12. But now a question that we haven't talked about on the podcast before. Jeff Tige in the JPS Torah commentary points the way to it. The divine choice would presumably be communicated by a prophet. The site where Solomon built the temple was originally chosen by David for an altar on the instructions of the prophet Gad. And so that's what we're going to talk about today, is how and where and whether the Lord actually did choose this particular site in Jerusalem for the temple to be built. We turn first to 2 Samuel 24, verse 1. The anger of the Lord again flared up against Israel, and he incited David against them, saying, "Go and number Israel and Judah." And as the JPS note tells you to that verse, there's a revised version of the same story in 1 Chronicles 21. But 1 Chronicles 21, verse 1 does not say the anger of the Lord flared up against Israel and he incited David and told him to go and take a census of Israel and Judah. 1 Chronicles 21:1 says, Satan arose against Israel and incited David to number Israel. And those two chapters are essentially copies of each other, but the bad guy, if I can put it that way, who persuaded David to number Israel, to take a census, which everybody knows is bad karma, counting things. In 2 Samuel 24, it's the Lord, the same God who's going to choose the site for his temple. And in 1 Chronicles 21, it's Satan. Shimon bar Ephrat says in the Jewish Study Bible to 2 Samuel 24, he gives it the headline census, plague, and altar. These three topics, which are successively dealt with in the three parts of the narrative, are causally connected. David conducts a census, which is considered a sin. God then punishes Israel with a plague. To put an end to the plague, David erects an altar on the site where later the temple will be built, according to 2 Chronicles 3:1. Though the plague as well as its cessation result from actions by David, they are independently decided upon by God, hinting at both human responsibility and divine sovereignty. Well, there's a well-known line, or a line that at least is well-known to Jews who recite the Tachanun prayer on weekday mornings, where David says to the prophet Gad, "Let me fall into God's hands and not into human hands." The context of that line is taken from 2 Samuel 24, where God says, "Because you took this census, you can either have war or famine or plague." And David decides, tells the prophet Gad, G-A-D, tells the prophet, "Let's have a plague, because at least God is responsible and he can handle stopping it." Well, plagues do not usually stop at a particular geographical location, but this one did, according to 2 Samuel 24. It was an angel who was bringing the plague. He was about to bring the plague to Jerusalem when God told him to stop, and he stopped where he was at a place called the threshing floor of Araunah the Jebusite. And that's where we'll pick up the story in 2 Samuel 24:18. Gad came to David the same day and said to him, "Go and set up an altar to the Lord on the threshing floor of Araunah the Jebusite." David went up, following Gad's instructions, as the Lord had commanded. Araunah looked out and saw the king and his courtiers approaching him. So Araunah went out and bowed low to the king with his face to the ground. And Araunah asked, "Why has my lord the king come to his servant?" David replied, "To buy the threshing floor from you, that I may build an altar to the Lord, and that the plague against the people may be checked." And Araunah said to David, "Let my lord the king take it and offer up whatever he sees fit. Here are oxen for a burnt offering, and the threshing boards and the gear of the oxen for wood. All this, O king, Araunah gives to your majesty. And may the Lord your God," Araunah added, "respond to you with favor." But the king replied to Araunah, "No, I'll buy them from you at a price. I cannot sacrifice to the Lord my God burnt offerings that have cost me nothing." So David bought the threshing floor and the oxen for 50 shekels of silver. And David built there an altar to the Lord and sacrificed burnt offerings and offerings of well-being. The Lord responded to the plea for the land, and the plague against Israel was checked. Well, if that story reminds you of Abraham buying the cave of Machpelah as a burial site from Ephron the Hittite, It does me too. I'm not going to discuss that anymore. But notice that even though we were told that the angels stopped and the plague somehow was checked at this very location, David is now talking about buying this location and making an offering that will stop the plague at that point. So the story is already a little bit confusing, but of course nothing in this story says anything really about building the one temple where it's legal to sacrifice to the Lord at that location. Let's turn to the Chronicles version of that story. And here we have David Rothstein in the Jewish Study Bible writing the Chronicles section. The differences between Chronicles version and 2 Samuel chapter 24 are numerous and substantive, leading to divergent views regarding the textual history of both passages. Chronicles shares many features with 4QSAM-A, that's one of the Dead Sea Scrolls Samuel manuscripts from Qumran, yet still differs from it in fundamental respects. 2 Samuel does not indicate when in David's career this episode took place. In Chronicles, this story, which takes place while David is relatively young, see chapter 23, verse 1, 1 Chronicles 23, verse 1, serves as a prelude to the choice of the temple site. And now his comment to 1 Chronicles 21:1, 2 Samuel 24:1 states, "The anger of the Lord again flared up against Israel, and consequently," Rothstein continues, "incited David to sin, so as to bring further guilt upon the people." There's no hint as to the cause of this state of affairs, however. Chronicles resolves some of the difficulty by eliminating reference to the Lord's anger. Furthermore, Chronicles mitigates the difficulties created by 2 Samuel by claiming that David was incited by an intermediary, Satan. Many scholars understand the Hebrew Satan to refer to the infamous heavenly being, arguing that the verse's formulation reflects a growing tendency in post-exilic Judaism to distance the deity from direct contact with human affairs, especially those involving suffering. But it's more likely that it here refers to a human adversary, its meaning elsewhere in the Bible. And that would depend on, he doesn't precisely say this, but that would depend on revising the JPS translation, which says Satan, capital S-A-T-A-N, did it, and understanding the Hebrew to be Satan, a small s Satan, an adversary. And that's not how the JPS translation takes it, or just about any other translation that I know of. But one thing that still doesn't happen in 1 Chronicles 21:1 is that the Lord tells David, this is where I want my temple to be. In fact, verses 28 and 29 there say, "At that time, when David saw that the Lord answered him at the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite," as Ornan's name's a little bit different here as well, "then he sacrificed there for the tabernacle of the Lord, which Moses had made in the wilderness, and the altar of burnt offerings were at that time in the shrine at Gibeon. And David was unable to go to it to worship God because he was terrified by the sword of the angel of the Lord." But in 1 Chronicles 22:1, perhaps I should not say but therefore, David said, "Here," on this threshing floor, "here will be the house of the Lord, and here the altar of burnt offerings." So it sounds as if the place that the Lord would choose actually turns out to be the place that David chose, And that seems to be what 2 Chronicles chapter 3 tells us as well. The JPS translation of that verse, "Then Solomon began to build the house of the Lord in Jerusalem on Mount Moriah, where the Lord had appeared to his father David." But the Lord is in brackets, and I should point out that little footnote A in the JPS translation of 2 Chronicles 3 says, with verses 2 through 17, see 1 Kings 6 and 7, 1 to 22. But 2 Chronicles 3, verse 1 is not in Kings. And the Lord is not in 2 Chronicles 3, 1, even though the NJPS translation puts it there. Here's the Anchor Bible translation of that verse. "So Solomon began to build the house of YHWH in Jerusalem on Mount Moriah," little footnote A or superscript A, "which David his father had selected," translating the Hebrew words, "asher nir'eh leDavid avihu," which seemed to David his father, which was seen to David his father, seems to make David the selector, and it's based on the Latin translation, which says, "Qui demonstratus fuerat David patri eius," which David his father had shown. Then there's a dash, and the dash says, "the place which David had prepared, asher hechin bimakom David," really it's "which he had prepared in David's place." And both verses end with the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. I should say both translations end with this threshing floor. Who picked the place that the Lord would pick? Was it the Lord? Was it David? Or was it Solomon? The Bible doesn't really tell us. I'll be back with you next week for Parshat Shoftim. Until then, this is Michael Karasik saying thank you for listening.